We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to CropMetcalf.com and you can join their team. You can do that today. You can join us at 800-636-1067. Are you excited that the Terry saga is finally behind us? Now it's no more, well, Buddy Baker's an idiot. Terry needs to get back to work. Mm-hmm. The team needs to budge off of their number. Mm-hmm. Now it's finally done. Now we can laser focus in on Giants Commanders week one. Jaden's top weapon is in the mix with Terry McLaurin. Now you don't have to worry about, you know, Noah Brown trying to catch 50 balls in an offense and him staying healthy. The alpha wideout is back.
Well, just for the record, I always thought he was going to be available for week one. I didn't think he was going to sit out and miss game checks.
That seemed preposterous.
But now the fact that you can now start focusing on, all right, the roster, because they're going to have the cuts today, depth chart, the offense, the Giants, you know, different things rather than when's he going to sign? Right. When's he going to start practicing?
Well, now you can start really looking at it. Yeah. And let's look at what they did last year. So we know offensively. Defensively, that was kind of the issue. That was what kind of killed them.
Especially stopping the run.
Remains to be seen how we'll do this year. I hope we do better if we want to have any shot. But offensively, we all know they averaged 28.5 points per game. But what is kind of interesting about it is it was really largely led by their rushing attack with Jaden, B-Rob, and everybody else.
Mm-hmm. They finished, fifth?
They were third.
Third in the league in rushing.
Third in the NFL in terms of yards per game, okay, right? The Ravens were one. The Eagles and their tush push and Jalen Hurts and everybody and Saquon, obviously, they were two. And then we were kind of a distant third.
All three teams had running quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
That's really what takes you to the top of the league at this point.
Right, but you can't take that out. I mean, that's part of it.
That's a cheat code, for sure.
That's part of it.
But the Ravens, with that running quarterback and Derrick Henry, is lethal. And I said at the moment they signed him.
You can't undersell enough how unbelievable it is to have a running quarterback that's going to run for 900 yards.
Right.
How many touchdowns did Jaden have last year?
Running?
Yeah, six or seven, whatever it was.
I think it was seven, but I'll double check that.
But when you have a running quarterback that's going to give you almost 1,000 yards, it's massive.
It is massive. But here's what I wanted to get to. What you kind of don't realize and lost in it because they were so freaking good at everything else is they were only 17th in the NFL in passing.
Yeah.
So now you got Terry. Let's just assume Terry's still at the peak of his powers. All right. You got the improved offensive line. Mm-hmm. You've added Debo. But people are actually saying Zach Ertz looks quicker than he did last year.
That would be great if that's the case. He had six rushing touchdowns as a rookie.
Right. So there is I'm not sure there's too much more room for growth on the ground game. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, how much better could you do than third in the NFL in rushing? I mean, maybe you could do slightly better, but I don't think the Ravens are going to drop off.
I don't think the Eagles are going to particularly drop off.
I don't think they're going to be third.
The running back room's in flux, too.
The running back room's a little bit in flux.
Because like you said, B-Rob, he added a nice number.
But there is room for growth in the passing game. And we know that certainly early on in the season, they were kind of slow feeding Jaden as he got comfortable. And largely, a lot of his spectacular plays were with his legs. But I actually think the sky's the limit offensively with them. That there's no reason why they can't.
The passing game should be better.
The passing game should be better, and that they can't improve upon the 28.5.
And he will be passing more if the defense isn't markedly better. If the defense doesn't take a big leap, he's going to have to pass more to keep the team
scoring and in games. As I can't remember who we had on yesterday pointed out, if the defense is terrible and teams are just having the ball for 7-8 minutes at a time.
Yeah, they're not on the field.
Then we're not on the field as much.
Okay. I mean, that impacts the offense too, but
right.
I mean, If the defense is poor again,
well, then you're playing from behind.
Then it's shootouts.
Yeah.
It's high-scoring affairs.
Right. But assuming they improve a little bit on defense, which I think they should be better. The back end is certainly better. Hopefully the front seven's at a minimum equal, if not better, than last year. There is room for growth in the passing game, and I think that Jaden should develop a little more as a passer.
As a fan, the first month of the season, Giants, Packers on the road, short week, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Raiders here and then at Atlanta.
3-1.
What are you...
Obviously,
you want to win every game, but that's impossible.
I think I had him going like 3-1. I'm a little nervous now.
But are you okay with 2-2, or are you disappointed with 2-2?
Disappointed.
All right. So you want 3-1 out of the game.
I think you're kind of disappointed because of the opponents.
Just because of the Giants and Raiders at home.
The Raiders should finish last in their division.
Yeah.
The Falcons, they're a work in progress.
Raiders are going to be better than last year.
Falcons are going to be a tough out, man, down there.
They'll be able to score, but I think the Commanders are better.
And the Packers are a tough out.
And I think the Giants... The Giants, I feel, is a must-win at week one at home.
Yeah.
Like, you can't start the season by losing to the team that everybody is picking to finish last in the NFC East.
But the Raiders, I think the Raiders are going to be better because they got a good coach.
Right? They do.
They've got a much better quarterback.
Do you see them leapfrogging any of the other teams in that division?
No, I'm just talking about that.
Who cares what they do? They're
I'm just talking about that particular
out.
Matchup.
Sure.
They're going to be a tougher out than you thought.
Now it is a home game, but you've got a stud, what we think is going to be a stud rookie running back, and then now they've got maybe the best tight end.
Right.
And they've got a much better quarterback. That's going to be a tough out. I'm not saying they're going to beat Washington.
Not saying it's a pushover, but it should be a
so
win
it doesn't look as easy that first month as it probably did, you know.
I agree.
A few months ago.
But I'm encouraged that Terry's going to be back and have, you know, basically a good 2 full weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I assume he's in shape to kind of get in football shape and be ready to go. And hopefully we can hit the ground running at basically full strength offensively, which, you know, wasn't certain that that was going to be the case.
They just did a segment on ESPN about it, and they showed the analytics. The analytics just to win the NFC East, I believe, are over 50% for the Eagles, but the Commanders are not that far off. At 35%, and keep it simple, right? You're talking about the passing game can get better. The passing game should be better because they added Debo. Just that addition.
Well, Debo in the offensive
line. Of course, all of that. But just simply adding Debo, giving him another weapon, is huge.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think if Eckler can stay upright and avoid the concussion bugaboo, he'll catch a lot of balls in the offense. That's just what he does. And I think that's what they want him to specialize in. Let Kroski Merritt and Rodriguez be the battering rams. Use him more in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's explosive. We've seen it. Even at this age, he's explosive.
It's kind of shocking. Like, okay, we know that Detroit's been prolific scoring the last couple of years, right? 33.2. We know the Bills have been prolific. They're averaging 30.9. The Ravens, right, with their offense. Kind of shocking the Buccaneers are right up there at 29.5.
It's not that shocking with Baker Mayfield and the weapons he has.
I mean,
shocking to me.
Do you know how many touchdown passes Baker had last year?
35.
41.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking to me.
I expect them to take a step back because Liam Cohen left. Chris Godwin is going to start on the PUP list.
Yeah, but didn't they draft the kid from...
Well, there's been a lot of raving about Emeka Egbuka just stepping in.
Yeah, he could step in and give you 8 to 10 touchdowns.
And Bucky Irving was really good last year at running back.
I mean, maybe he doesn't have 41. They're going to be a scoring team.
Yeah.
Put it this way. I always assumed that Terry would be there week one because he wouldn't want to miss a game check, right? It's $1 million a week. He didn't even want to miss the $50,000 a day.
No.
Fine. Why would he want to miss $1 million? That wasn't going to be a thing. But I wasn't certain when he'd report, or actually practice. Now I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more confident in this Giants game, which I think is going to be an improved Giants team. I think it's going to be improved. It may not.
I think they're better than last year.
They're going to be a tougher out.
Yes.
Week in and week out. I have no idea how many wins they're going to have.
Washington had a tough game with them last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if Neighbors doesn't drop that ball, that's an L, right?
Probably. Their kicker was out.
Their kicker was a disaster.
So they had to go for two on everything.
Yeah.
I mean, what poor planning by Dable. He knew his kicker was banged up heading into the game. Didn't have a backup plan.
Yeah.
I just think their defense is going to be much better because of, I mean, Burns is a stud, but adding Carter, I mean, they're
Thibodeau's still there. I mean,
they're going to be good.
They can wreak havoc on the passer.
I'm not saying they're going to be the playoff team. Some people say they got an outside shot, but quarterback's still an issue. I just think defensively they're going to be an issue. They're going to be a tough out.
I'll be honest. If they lose week one at home to the Giants, that's an embarrassing way to start the season, in my opinion. It's bad optics on the Commanders if you drop a game to the bottom feeder in your division.
It just shows you it's going to be a tough season. Like, every week is going to be a dogfight.
Sure.
You know.
But that's a game that you have to start the season off on the right foot. You got to win that game.
Yeah, but Washington's heavily favored.
I know, 6.5-point favorites.
Even though you just saw Jaden for one drive, didn't it make you feel confident that if he's on the field, they're going to be just fine?
Yes.
When he's healthy, I think anything's possible. He really is just a
basically
remarkable player.
Against any defense, I expect them to go out and put up 30 points with him healthy.
Well, that's what
I'm
saying.
If James healthy and starting a game and ends the game, I expect them to score right around 30 points.
Well, they scored 28.5.
That's my expectation.
I mean, that's a lot of points.
There's room
for
a lot of points,
especially if you look at the schedule.
He did it last year with 28.5 with a bunch of clowns around him.
I understand.
For the most part.
He could take a small step back, and he also is playing a tougher schedule.
Okay. But again, that doesn't shift my expectation for this offense to keep humming and score around 30 points per game. I don't think that's an unrealistic expectation.
No, it's not. Tress Way barely was punting. I'm looking at his career punts. Now, his career high for a season was 83 punts, but there were plenty of seasons where he was in the 70s. Mm-hmm. I'm counting at least six seasons where he was in the 70s for punts. A couple of seasons where he was in the 80s. Last year at 50. In a season that's one game longer.
Mm-hmm.
You're focused on the defense forcing punts. Washington barely punts.
Well, it's because we score.
They go for it on fourth down a lot.
At an insane rate on fourth downs.
I'm telling you right now, and you can make fun of me, I'm taking for granted our offense this year.
Yeah, I think you should.
I'm not taking for granted the defense.
No. But let me say this about the fourth down.
You can still have a great offensive year and not score 30 points a game.
True.
You can still score four touchdowns a game.
Yes.
Or around there and be a really good offense.
Sure.
Doesn't mean you have to elevate it to 30, 31 points. It's a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles won the Super Bowl and they didn't score, I think they were right around 27.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't score as much as Washington. And I can't remember who we had on the other day kind of said, you know, that brought up the factor that they, depending on the defense, you could end up scoring less because you had the ball less, whatever.
Mm-hmm. What I mentioned.
But I think it's going to be tough for defenses to stop Washington. Defenses couldn't stop Washington last year, and you add Debo to the mix. And I think they were very intentional on that first play giving the reverse to Debo because they want teams to think about it. And they're going to run fakes.
Oh, they're going to run
so many things off
Debo's
of that.
Debo's going to be in motion all the time.
Yes.
Just trying to throw off the defense.
Those linebackers are going to be figuring out where Debo is at all times, safeties, and might free up Terry even more.
You know, everybody assumes that the Kroski Merritt's development or whatever, or blossoming sort of in camp, is why they felt the need to go ahead and move on from B-Rob.
Yeah.
It might have just been acquiring Debo. Even though he's not going to, you know, carry it 15 times a game, he just gives them that extra punch, and then they can get the other stuff from the other guys.
Yeah, the addition of Debo and that you know Jaden's going to carry the ball a certain number of times. It takes stress off of your running back room.
B-Rob said he was surprised. You see his little presser in San Francisco?
I saw it. I didn't click on it.
I just read about it.
I saw it. I didn't click
I just
it.
Saw like a 10-second clip.
Well, I'm sure he was surprised when he got pulled for practice or whatever, and they told him they were going to, you know, probably make a move.
Yeah.
I guess I just got frustrated with this style of running.
I was surprised. Ben Standig, you were right. I was wrong.
Yeah. Well, if you listen to DQ, some of those pressers there, they basically decided in the offseason that this was a possibility, that they were going to have an opportunity with the depth in their running back room to move on. Listen, I wish him best. Yeah, I hope
he does well.
I think he tried his best. I think he did a lot of good things for us. Just, you know, they wanted a little bit more.
He was a good guest on the show until he fumbled twice in the Philly game. And then and he fumbled his phone and was unable to call us the next day.
Yeah, that's
he actually told me, I don't know if I told you guys, so for my book, Faith Restored, faithrestoredbook.com, I interviewed B-Rob mm-hmm. out at minicamp, and he pretty much just said he didn't feel like calling in after the bad game.
I don't blame him.
He said I wasn't feeling it.
Right.
Yeah, of course. I said something like, really appreciated having you on. It was fun. Maybe we can do it again, which clearly is not going to happen.
Right.
And he's like, my bad in the end. I just wasn't feeling it.
Yeah,
how many weeks did he miss? Two?
It was just kind of like down the stretch. It just kind of fell apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Last three or four games.
I was going to say three. Yeah, maybe three or four.
But he said kind of once he was injured. Mm-hmm. He didn't say because of the fumbles. He just said once he was injured.
Right. Hmm. Well, I think we're in a great position. I feel so much better than I did the last few weeks. Last few weeks, I was really starting to get panicky, reading about the terrible offense, getting Terry back, seeing Jaden run around in week two was helpful. Now let's just focus on the defense and find a way. Honestly, any win over the Giants is going to be a good win. I don't need style points.
10-9 is a good win.
Any win. Just get the W.
Get that dub.
You gotta stack dubs.
Put it in the column.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to text us throughout the show, you can do that on the Junkies text line. It's brought to you by Main Street Bank. Cheer local. Bank local. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC. Equal housing opportunity.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Lender. Have any of you guys seen the videos that are coming out of the Burning Man Festival right now? It's being held in the desert in Nevada.
I saw the cars, all the cars driving out there. Has the festival actually started?
And it's started going on August 24th, and it runs through September 1st.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, Burning Man sounds terrible. Let's just listen to this is the description of Burning Man.
Yeah.
It's a large-scale desert event focused on, quote, community, art, self-expression, and self-reliance. I mean, that just sounds like something I don't ever want to be a part
of. Does it feature music? Like you just go there and listen to bands?
I don't think it has bands.
No music?
I thought it was bands.
Bands couldn't perform in this.
Now, there might be a bunch of hippies there with their own guitars or
there's no big bands that are performing.
I don't think like Blink 182 or Metallica are going to Burning Man.
You just go out there and hang out in a tent and bang sixes?
You might be lucky if you get sixes. But, wow. But here's the thing. At Burning Man right now, there are videos of these massive dust storms that are sweeping through the event, mm-hmm. like 50-mile-per-hour winds.
I've never seen anything like it.
But they've got people like trying to keep these tents upright. They are dressed like they're in Dune with mm-hmm. Timothy Chalamet. There's the dust everywhere. People with ski goggles, like bandanas, trying to keep these tents from blowing away. It looks miserable.
So there's no like main stage area.
There's definitely dancing and music and dancing venues and stuff there. It's a lot of art. It's obviously a lot of drugs and hanging out.
Sounds horrible.
Well, for you, yeah. But for the hippies out there, they're camping and just doing fun stuff.
The one guy who took the video on Twitter said, "There's no place I'd rather be."
Where would you rather be?
That's what
he said.
So
right now,
he wants to be in like porta potties for a week.
He wants to be in a dust storm, in the Vegas desert. That's what he wants to be.
It sounds freaking miserable.
I mean, I was in Vegas, in Nevada, in the scorching temps with all the creature comforts that you could ask for.
Yeah,
air conditioning. Water misters spraying on you.
Nice food, restaurants,
food, casinos, poker. Like, if you're going to go to Nevada for that, I can buy into that. You're going to go out in the middle of the desert and get blown around by a dust storm with a bunch of dirty hippies and porta potty waste being thrown everywhere.
That sounds horrible.
It sounds like hell on earth.
But I'll be honest with you. I saw some of that, the dust storm stuff, and now I question everything. I'm like, is that AI? Like, what is that? Is that even real? Like, you see all these waves videos that are apparently all fake.
They're all fake.
You know, just wiping out towns with these big tsunami-like waves. Like, everything now, like, literally AI has just changed your perspective on everything. You just have to assume everything's fake. It's hard. It's hard to know.
Well, these videos look pretty realistic. I mean, if this is AI, this is the best AI.
No, I believe
I've ever
those
seen.
Are real.
I
but I see those
real,
same ones
but
you
it's
see.
Very difficult to ascertain.
I feel like I'm a boomer sometimes when I see this because I don't know if it's real or not. And you know what, Justin Herbert? Have you heard of? He's got like a celebrity girlfriend.
Okay. Madison Beer, is that her name?
Never heard of her. I feel so out of touch.
I've heard the name.
Should we know who Madison Beer is?
I don't know why she's famous. I just know
she's very attractive. Apparently, she's a singer.
Okay. I mean, can you name a song by her? Anybody?
Personally, I hadn't heard of her. And it's happening more and more, I guess, as I get older, that these will be famous people probably to our kids.
That's the way it's supposed to. This is the way life works. Like, we're not supposed to like the musical artists or the movies or the culture that our kids like.
She has a song called Selfish.
Okay. I mean, it's sure.
If you tell me it's popular, I'll believe you.
Maybe the Biebs, they say the Biebs shared a cover she posted on YouTube and that kind of raised her profile, obviously. She's got 40 million followers on Instagram.
I'm a fan
right,
of the last
so she's
name.
Obviously a thing. Never had heard her. Had anybody... About Boys Behind the Glass, you're younger. Had you heard of Madison Beer?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, but she's not like a pop star mega famous for her music. She's a smoking hottie that did YouTube videos and just parlayed that into internet fame.
Okay.
As good most do now. So
that's how it works. If you don't pay attention to it, you're not going to know who she is. I have no idea who Madison is.
She's one in a billion hot chicks. You know?
I don't know if you have a billion.
One in a billion, maybe.
If it's one in a billion, just...
I mean, there's so many hot chicks, like, around the world. I mean, yeah, she's just one in many. And even those, like, I assume she's real. I saw the video of her and Justin Herbert walking around.
You assume she's a
real
person?
I mean, Instagram profiles are fake now, too. AI.
I don't know what to say to that. I mean, you're just tricked by AI constantly now.
I'm just going to assume everything is
right. I think I'm pretty good at that. Yeah. I just suspect everything.
I think
now.
I'm pretty good at spotting the AI.
I mean, I assume when I see a massive wave taking out a town that's fake, but you know, it looks pretty real. I assume it's fake. But
I got sucked into watching something like The World's Most Dangerous Jobs.
Okay, you fell for some clickbait.
Yeah, and it probably was fake, but there was like a woman that was on a mountain, basically a cliff.
No, I saw it. She was sweeping it.
Yes, you saw the same one. We have the same algorithm.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I'm sure it was a super viral clip.
Can that be real?
I thought
it looked like the ledge about 2 feet.
She had no qualms about sweeping, and she had about 6 inches.
No guardrail.
I don't know what she was sweeping it for. Who the hell's walking up that cliff? It reminded me of your trip to Italy.
Yeah,
I thought maybe
I did not one but two cliff walks.
I mean, that's too many in my opinion.
Now there were rails.
Yeah,
and actually the big cliff walk, I ended up bailing because my son bailed.
Yeah, smart.
There's also in China, there's some bridge that's like glass. You know, like it's all glass underneath it. And I think this is real. Maybe it's AI, but I don't even know. I'm scared to say. Where they're walking on this thing, it's like 2 miles up in the air. It's way up in the air.
Right.
And then they're playing a prank on the people, and the glass breaks underneath it. But it's like an entertainment ride
or something. Like an optical illusion.
And people start freaking out.
Sure.
Start freaking out as the glass is cracking underneath them.
Going back to Burning Man for a second, if any of our donkey listeners have been to Burning Man and or want to go to Burning Man, I would love to know your motivation. 800-636-1067.
That sounds like hell on earth.
Tell us about your experience.
How long has that been up and running?
Oh, I think it's been going for years.
10 years.
And
it's always at the same time. It's always in August?
I don't know. I don't know the schedule, but I'm assuming it happens in the summer
every
year. I think
the weather often
screws it up.
According
to Wikipedia, August 24th through September 1st. Hmm.
But you get, like, celebrities will go out there, right? Like, the Kardashians will go, or Justin Bieber will go, or, right? They just go out there, and Spike Lee goes.
I think I'd rather be a Burning Man, then go to the Burning Man Festival. Just pour lighter fluid on me and light me on fire.
I mean, it sounds miserable.
I mean, it just sounds terrible.
It began as a bonfire.
Yeah. I honestly thought they had concerts.
I did too.
You know, maybe they have.
I don't think it's very structured. It's not like going to Warped like DJs Tour or going to Lollapalooza. I think it's just like Drab said, it's, you know, like more impromptu, hippies dancing everywhere. That's another reason to stay away. Bunch of dancing. No, thank you. I'm out.
When was the last time you danced?
I mean, probably at a wedding. But
like a slow dance.
Probably a slow jam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to get Cakes hammered to dance regular.
You don't have to be drunk to do a slow dance at a wedding.
No. But like real dancing.
Like an MC Hammer dance.
I need like six beers. Right. Eight beers definitely gets me on the dance floor.
Right.
100%.
And Humpty Dance.
Humpty Dance.
Something like that.
Of course. Mm. Like just a standard
Speaking
classic.
Of six beers, remember that story we talked about? I can't remember who. It was a bar stool thing where they watched the baseball game and they had to eat.
It was the 9-9-9 challenge.
Nine beers, nine dogs, and nine innings.
Yeah.
That sounds freaking miserable. Yeah. Everybody throws up, right?
But it was nine dogs per inning, correct?
I think it was a group of...
I don't think it was nine over nine innings. Wasn't it nine dogs per inning?
No, I think each person...
They would have done 81 dogs. I can't do that.
I thought that was the story.
I can't remember it at this point. I just remember Joey Chestnut was there, and he was not eating... The hot dogs, because I guess he's...
Well,
nine
hot dogs over 2.5 hours for those guys. I mean, that wouldn't be a... That's not a big story.
Yeah, but you add in nine beers.
I think the challenge was nine dogs and nine beers over nine innings.
That's the original bit. Yeah.
I thought it was more than that.
They were running it up to 99, but maybe they had like 10 guys or something doing
that's probably what it was.
There's no way you could do nine beers and nine dogs.
Joey Chestnut was joning on people for puking. Like he's like, look at all these amateurs I'm surrounded by.
Well, my next door neighbor's son, who he's college grad, so he's 24, but and him and his buddies did that.
Oh, they did?
On their back deck.
Okay.
And they were watching a Nats game.
See the influence that it has on kids?
Yeah.
And
go ahead. What were the results?
There was 10 or 12 of them. One out of 12 got it done.
Like something that Mike Marr should do. We should definitely have Mike Marr do that at some point.
It just doesn't seem that difficult. I think I could do it with the quickness.
Nine beers in basically 3 hours.
Could you do a beer and a hot dog every segment? How many segments do 12. We have? We have 12 segments over 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he'd be bumbled.
Could you do a beer and a hot dog every segment?
I think so. It'd be a pick 'em, but I think so. The hot dogs would be the issue. That's a lot of food.
That is.
But if I'm moving around,
it's the combo too. It's like devastating.
You're not going to be doing a lot of moving around if you're slugging a dozen Frankfurters and a dozen Natty Lights.
You know, like today I've been working on my strike three count. If I'm doing that in the mix, That'll help the digestion a little bit. Might be a little boozed up by the end of the show.
Can I hear your strike count?
Yeah. I've been working on it a little bit.
Because you and Drab are like, I don't know, are you playing a kickball or something during the break? Like, what are you guys doing?
No, so he asked me, he was like, do you have a strike three count? And I said no. And he's like, well, it's like a basketball jumper. Everyone has one. It just might not be the best. So I've been workshopping it a little bit today. And, you know, he's proud of it. So.
All right, let me hear it.
All right, should I come in there and do it? Or
you could do it right there.
It's also about the hand motion.
Oh, okay.
Well, we got you on camera. We can see you on camera.
All right.
Yeah, EB, you're right. It was the it was the total 99 hot dogs and 99
okay,
beers.
Okay, right.
Of the nine guys. Okay.
All right, here we go.
All right, Drab, throw me a pitch.
What are you doing?
All right. We got the camera over here?
Yeah.
Why are you going there? Because they need to see your full body. If you're going to do this,
feel cramped over there.
I don't want to half-ass it.
Yeah. Come on.
Right. I mean, you're a performer, Mike.
So, Drab, you have one?
No. I'm his coach. I'm talking him through it.
You're just his hype guy?
Yeah, I'm hyping him up, yeah.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So, hold on. So, it's 3-2 count. Who we got pitching? We got Mackenzie Gore on the mound. All right.
So, right here?
Yeah.
See! Next three!
Okay.
Okay, he loves his strike three count. Sure, it sounds good.
I mean, I like the enthusiasm. On I like the
idea. Is it a thing where people work on it?
RIP Pete.
No, JP's so confused by this morning. He was like perplexed that Mike and I were having fun.
Well,
this
just
is
just
what you
random.
Guys do. We're just messing around, killing time.
They're just killing time because they're bored.
It just seems kind of random.
It is. Of course, everything's random. I was watching a reel last night of a guy practicing his strike three call. So then I was asking Mar this morning about it, and we were just being boys working on it. I mean, that's what we
do. You don't have yours?
Mine's not a finished product yet. I mean,
can we see what you what you're workshopping it?
Sure.
Come on. All right.
I don't have a strike three count. I'll just be honest.
I don't have one. I've never wanted to be an umpire.
No.
I've reffed a few basketball games. It was miserable.
This on?
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Pete's call?
I was telling Mark about this.
Kind of.
Pete was an umpire, softball mostly, for, I don't know, 20 years.
Long time.
But his strike three signature was, strike three, the batter's out. It was unique.
It's very distinctive.
Right. Everybody's got a different signature. Again, I'm still working on mine. I like it when the umpire drops late. You know, you got to save your knees a little bit. So you can't be down low the entire time.
Yeah. Right.
You got to drop with the pitch.
Right.
Okay.
You got to drop with
squats.
The pitch. Yeah. And then, the pitcher's doing the work, so I like to give him the show a little bit. A lot of guys, they're doing the strike three for the nosebleeds. I do it for the pitcher. So I drop down here.
The batter's out! So you add a little
pizzazz.
I
mean, you got
I like it. Very good.
Are you going to, will you umpire some softball games, maybe? Would you be up for that? Would you
it's
do
a side
that
hustle.
As a side
Pete
hustle?
Tried to get me to do that for years. Well, actually, basketball, but I would do it.
You would do it? Would you enjoy that?
I enjoy socializing.
What level, though? You can't do, like, fifth grade. You got to do, like, high school.
Well, you got to work up to high school. They just don't put jabronis in the high school games.
Understand, but I mean, you can't have that aggressive call with, like, a seven-year-old.
No. I know that twinkle in your eye. You were a little impressed by my strike three there.
No, I just...
You were. I know you.
I don't know if impressed is the word. You've been working on this. Is interesting, I guess.
I've been working on it for, I don't know, 3 hours.
That's a
solid
long
3 hours of work.
Yeah. You guys should do that. Go and get in front of your mirror in your bathroom at home and work on it. Everybody's got to have a jump shot, a strike three call.
These are standards. Every guy should have these in the bank.
Yeah, of course.
I told you, I've only...
They were working on signature last week.
Yeah.
Signature, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know. I ref basketball a couple times. It was miserable. Everyone yells at you. I hated it.
Yeah, I refereed basketball for 1 year, and I was kind of poised to become the next Tim Donahue.
You were going to cheat.
You were going to fix games.
I could have, yeah.
You could have easily been bought.
Definitely. Yeah. And I was also, you know, bickering with all the parents and stuff.
Yeah, the parents are just yelling at you. You're just trying your best. I don't know if it was a freaking charge or...
No, it was screw job in the playoffs. Any coach that wronged me throughout the season, they were getting no calls at the end of the game.
Right.
And if someone had came up to me, you know, going into the championship, like, you know, here's 100, make sure we get some calls, probably would have given them the chip.
Valdez, when you worked for the... public rec or whatever. Did you actually umpire or ref? Did you do that?
No, I refed. I refed games, little kid games growing up. But no, not when I worked for Rec and Parks. I was on John Deere's.
Nice.
You're a landscape guy.
You also got to remember last week when Mar and I and Valdez, we were, you know, getting lubricated out at Jackson's.
Yeah.
Mar was in the street doing his swim and rip moves against a safety cone. Like, you always got to be working on something to impress the boys.
Yeah, you got to expand your repertoire. Yeah. All right. I guess we have things to work on.
I thought those were two pretty good calls.
You guys don't do that at Norbeck?
What do you mean?
Like, what do you guys do when you're drinking with your friends? Just sit in a chair and, like,
talk about
your
rounds.
Kids and stuff?
They recap their shots.
I don't really drink that much when I play. I just play.
Oh, like the 19th hole. When you
have I might have one drink. Yeah. I'm not that fun.
We're boring.
I'm not that
it's
fun.
Boring, Drab.
Yeah.
Boring.
You guys got to come out to Reston. We'll get you guys doing your ump calls.
Yeah. Out in the street, knocking over pylons with Mike
Is
Mara.
There one ump that has the best one right now that everyone loves? One guy? Like,
no,
in
I don't
big
think
leagues?
So. I mean, I was watching a 20-minute tape here of each ref or each ump doing their signature strike three. So I'm picking up on some
very good.
Nuances
all right.
here.
All right. Excellent. All right. Excellent. I guess we have something to work on. We have homework at this point. All right, we're the Junks. Got to take a break. We'll be right.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball.
Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Right back.
No, I know a lot of parents who are fired up because school has started again. So,
Montgomery went back today.
Their kids are back in school.
My daughter was back yesterday. Yeah. Yeah,
this is frustrating. My daughter goes to St. Elizabeth's Catholic School. We have a carpool situation. I'm actually going to be driving six girls home Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Jeez.
Packing them into my car.
You have a church van that we don't know about?
Right. No, I've got a great Kia Telluride from Oarsmen of Bethesda.
Very nice. Very good.
They start off with a half day. What is that all about?
What do you mean?
Like, I thought I was going to be able to go home, have some time. They go to school, pickups at 12:15.
Hey, Ricky, they're a private school. They could do whatever they want. And you're paying for it.
I know. It's frustrating.
I was ready
because the last couple weeks, you try and you have your kids in camps at times, but then there are some weeks when there's no camps and my wife is working. So usually she will be at Lifetime Fitness. They have a little daycare, but that's limited for 3 hours, I believe. So I'll have to pick her up and then entertain her. And I was like, oh, back in school. Good to go at least until 3 o'clock. 12:15 today.
Well, I mean, when you pick up your kid, I mean, she's old enough to occupy herself. It's not like you're on your hands and knees doing stuff with her.
I mean, she's eight. I usually do stuff with her.
Oh, eight? She could handle herself.
She's on her own at eight.
Yeah, give her a puzzle. Give her an iPad.
A puzzle.
What do you want to do? You
whatever. Just, I mean, have her do whatever.
Do you want to just go to sleep? Is that what it is?
I definitely am not on my hands and knees. The only thing I would do with my kids is I would go play catch with them, that kind of thing. Other than that, I would just be like, find blocks or something, or go play with a doll, or go, do whatever kids do. I'm not gonna do stuff with you all day.
A lot of times I get arranged play dates.
We'll go play.
Then you can tap out. If I arrange a play date, then I can kind of tap out.
Well, look, the weather's gonna be unbelievable today. Just let her do something outside. Play with all the other kids outside somewhere in your backyard. I mean, it's not like you have to do anything.
I mean, the pools are still open. I know that. I went yesterday and played with my oldest daughter, who doesn't start her full-time job until early October. And so we went and played tennis. I actually hadn't played tennis all summer because I've been playing so much golf. I was shocked. There's still a bunch of people still at the pool.
Definitely using a one-handed backhand because of the wrist.
I'm a one-handed backhand guy. Yeah. But it actually hurt me to get the ball out of my pocket with my left hand. Yeah, it was like so
hurting. You're definitely infirmed. You're infirmed
I'm banged
right
up. But
your
also,
toss was off.
I had a little bit of an epiphany with tennis for me, which has always been the sport I'm most comfortable with. I've played it the longest in my life. I think I'm now better in golf than I am at tennis. And it's only because I'm just...
Reps.
Reps, but I'm aging out of it. I'm not moving like I used to move.
I hear you.
It's just... Tennis game, dipping, golf game. It doesn't mean either one of them is particularly good.
Right.
I'm not claiming either one's particularly good. I'm just saying the one I would always say, I'd hit a bad drive, have a bad hole, have a bad day. You know what? At least I'm pretty good in tennis.
Mm-hmm. You can't cling to that any longer.
I think I might be losing that swagger that I've had. It's just you reach that age, Cakes, you're not the same guy.
I understand.
They're not the same. You're not the same man. You're half the man.
You're losing that vigor that you used to have.
You know, my daughter would just like rip one down the cross court.
There are definitely balls that you just look at and you're like, that's a great shot.
Great shot. I'm not even going
to tip your cap.
Not even going to try it again.
Not even going to it. Like certain drop shots, I play with guys who have vicious drop shots and I see it happening and I'll just stand like a statue and be like, I was 30 years younger, I would have run for that. 10 years younger.
What's the average age of the person you're playing against in tennis?
Currently?
Yes. Your group.
Oh, I mean, I
play with like 6 to 8 guys.
I think I'm generally the spring chicken in the group.
So really?
What about that one guy that everybody says is the best? He's kind of like our age, isn't he?
Larry?
Yeah. Is he kind of like our age?
I think he's probably, I don't know. I'm not trying to offend him. I'm going to guess he's
a little older.
3 to 5 years older than us, somewhere in that range, but I don't know.
So there are no 30-year-olds in your group?
No, a 30-year-old would not be allowed. No. Too young. Too young and vibrant. If you have a 30-year-old walks into our country club weekend goofball tennis game,
yeah,
all of the 55 and uppers, yeah, okay, because there's, I don't think there's anybody
they're
under.
They're done.
Yeah, we'd be like, 30? Get the
especially
F out
if
of
he's just decent.
I mean, I brought my Bikey Botts once, and people were like,
there
what
was
are
an
you
uproar.
Doing? People were like, this guy's serving 115 miles per hour.
Yeah. You went to the voluntary camp.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Yeah. No, Bikey was fine. He's younger than us, obviously, but he's not 25.
Yeah, no,
30.
He's in his 40s.
But yeah, like there's no 30-year-olds allowed in our game.
I also noticed
they would get booted right the F out.
That even though I've probably done, now you might mock this, maybe you don't call it cardio, it's probably not cardio, but let's just say I've walked 50 rounds of golf or something, right? That's a lot of walking. It's like 5 to 6 miles every time. I mean, I've lost weight. It's a lot. I'm still wiped out after 45 minutes of very light tennis.
Yeah.
Very light, like exhausted, lost my legs. It's time to go.
I mean, we go longer than that. Generally, in our weekend sessions, they're like, they can be up to 2 hours. But
that's
by the end of
time.
2 hours,
you're dead.
Singles?
No, doubles.
Oh, you're doing well,
doubles.
So yeah,
doubles. Singles? Who am I, Pete Sampras?
I don't know. Sorry, like, I don't know.
You probably don't see a lot of the guys playing singles.
Not,
right?
I mean, not really. A ton.
Yeah. But you get old, man. You're a doubles guy.
I actually was wondering. I probably shouldn't, but I ran into somebody that used to play hoops with. And he asked me, he's like, are you still playing? And I was like, nah, I haven't played since I tore my ACL. It's been 8 years. And he was an older guy. Like, I played a lot, three days a week, maybe even four in my 30s. And he was older than me back then. He's obviously still older than me.
He might
be pushing 60. Maybe like lower 60s. So I just, in my head, I was like, he's got to be playing with all like over 50-year-old guys.
Are they playing like full court games?
It's terrible though. Oh, it's all slow. It's really embarrassing. But I'm telling you, my dentist played hoops his whole life. Mm-hmm. And he tells me that now every year just somebody dies.
Sure. Right.
They clutching just their die. Chest. Yeah,
they, have
the
they just have a big one.
Yeah.
They have a heart attack.
Yeah, it's
stroke out.
Terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you're not meant to be playing hoops at like 50 or 60 years old.
Totally agree. It's a young man's
so
game.
Is this guy who's 60, is he playing with 40-year-olds or 30-year-olds?
I haven't gone. He invited me to play. He plays like two or three nights a week.
He's playing with the elderly.
He started telling me, he's like, you know, we do this high school on Tuesdays and this high school on
elderly
Thursdays.
Hoops. That sounds just
I will say this.
Terrible.
I thought of you, Drab, as I got there to the courts because there were a couple pickleball nets that were in the way that
Love
I had it. To pick up and I had to slide them to the
Get
side.
Them out of here.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, I like pickleball, but they should have their own courts.
I vehemently 100%
agree. 100%
agree. Yeah.
It's fine. Get your own courts. Build
it's
them
fine.
Yourself.
They should get their own courts. Even if you take away a couple tennis courts, I'm fine with that. But when you have the tennis courts and all the lines everywhere and the nets everywhere and they're tipped over and it's kind of annoying.
Maybe tennis is dying in Montgomery County. But in Loudoun County, you can't find a court, at least where I go.
Really?
It's packed
all
the
full?
Time. Tennis. Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm not going to public courts. I'm going to like our pool.
Well, I mean,
like,
I go to the local high school that has
courts. So it's like public courts.
Now, look, there's a lot of Indian Americans in Loudoun County, and they love tennis. So
is that true? Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can tell you tennis. This, Trab. In my neighborhood, now it's just two tennis courts. That's where I hold my Sunday soccer practices, and I've never had a conflict.
Hey, you don't reserve the courts?
No.
Oh, we have to reserve our courts.
No, I just show up, and 9 times out of 10,
maybe
if not
tennis
more than
is
that,
dead in Moco.
Nobody's there.
Maybe you don't have an athletic neighborhood.
Maybe that's the case.
Sounds like it.
But you're just going to local high school. There's no reserving the courts there. It's first come, first serve.
Yeah, you just show up.
Unless there's lessons going on.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we'll get into EB's entertainment page. We'll do that next here on The Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.